cinders, and flowers. The north side of Mount St. Helens gapes wide open, where it blew out in 1980 and left this scrabbly strew of gray and white pumice, glaring in afternoon sun and crunching beneath my boot steps. 10 years before the mountain exploded, I stood on the snowy summit one summer afternoon and shouted my joy down to the expansive earth. Since then, I have earned an unhappy back, an ankle that pains me with every step, a titanium knee, a shoulder of bone-rubbing bone. Please tell me, believers in the resurrection of the body, which one? Oh, I'd take again the youthful version were he offered, though not if his angst and confusions came with him. And I'm pretty sure this creaking frame could bear me up the mountain to search him out. But why? That peak where he stood and hollered, wanting nothing that was not there, is not there. The blowout left him and the 40 years between us in windy space, a quarter mile above the crater rim. If that boy is to live again, he will have to do it down here, in this body of complaints, trekking a blasted plain, a country born dead, but not dead now. Gophers swam up from their havens, stirring the grit and pebbles. Bunch grasses sunk roots, willows, shrubs, and saplings. Sparrows and flycatchers nesting among them have taken hold by the snowmelt stream that pours from the mountain's core. And now, this late July, riots of blossoms have exploded all over. Blue lupin, penstemons pink and purple, Indian paintbrush of the deepest orange, in clumps where I walk, and hazing the farther slopes in soft pastels. I'm glad I stood on that summit once, if indeed it was me. But where, on a mountaintop, are the birds and flowers? I'm happy enough to saunter along in my gimpy way here below, where I see not as far, but stand in scale, with small beauties making the most of their moment, my legion of pains never failing to report that, like the mountain, I am alive and finding my way.